The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Heminger. I appreciate that so very much. Thank you so much, Brother Palmore. God bless you, and thank you for that. I mentioned the other day, I forget who it was. They were singing, and oh, I tell you, the applause just was right up there, you know. And I got up, and I said, I don't know who the applause is for them or me. And I said, I know it was for them. Then everybody started applauding for me. And I said, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that so very much. And so, and this morning, there was one that applauded for me. Thank you so much. And my popularity is decreasing, I want you to know. And so, John chapter 8, if you will, look at verse 32. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to speak to you this morning on something I spoke on back in 2010, and that is this: breaking the chains of bondage. Breaking the chains of bondage. The Bible talks about truth all the way through. I want to give you some things to help you to understand this morning how important it is for truth to prevail in your life and in my life. Psalm 40 and verse 11, the Bible says, the truth continually preserved me. Psalm 69 and verse 13, the Bible says this. The Bible says, the truth is thy salvation. Psalm 91 and verse 4, the Bible says, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 100 and verse 5, the Bible says, the truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 117 and verse 2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. So we understand that the truth is very, very important. The Bible talks about what truth is. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 142, thy law is truth. And so we know the Bible is the truth that God's talking about. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 151, the Bible says, all thy commandments are truth. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21, the Bible says, that which is noted in the scripture of truth. John chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says truth came by Jesus Christ. So we understand this morning that truth is above you. Truth is above me. We understand this morning that God's word is that which is truth, and we're supposed to obey the truth. I, like you, have a personal responsibility to obey the truth, the word of God. So what is it that I'm supposed to do as a believer this morning with the Bible? What am I supposed to do as a believer this morning with that which is the truth? Well, the Bible says I'm supposed to study truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm supposed to pick up my Bible, and I'm supposed to study the truth. The Bible says I'm supposed to know the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, as I read just a moment ago, where the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says I'm supposed to let truth direct me. So not only am I supposed to study the truth, not only am I supposed to know the truth, I'm supposed to allow truth to direct me. Isaiah 61 and verse 8, the Bible says, I will direct their work in truth. I'm supposed to allow truth to be spoken. So I'm supposed to speak the truth. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 2 and in verse 6, the Bible says, the law of truth was in my mouth. So I'm supposed to study the truth, the Bible. I'm supposed to know the truth, the Bible. I'm supposed to let the truth direct me, the Bible. I'm supposed to speak the truth, the Bible, and I'm supposed to walk in truth. The Bible says in 2 John 4, the Bible says, I rejoice greatly that I found, it says, that I found, it says, of thy children walking in truth. So I'm supposed to walk in the truth. But what happens if a person decides not to let the truth prevail in their life? What happens if a person decides that, okay, I've got the Bible, but I don't want the Bible in my life? What happens if a person decides, well, I know that I should be embracing the Bible. I know that I should be believing the Bible. I know that I should be practicing the Bible, but that is not something I want to do. Well, the Bible answers that. Over in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street." So what happens when a person, or what happens when a nation, decides that they're not going to embrace the truth? Well, according to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, the Bible says that justice is going to stand afar off. In other words, when a nation, when an individual decides they're not going to embrace the truth, then what takes place is justice backs off from the truth. And by the way, that even affects our court system, because justice backs off of the truth. The Bible says here, listen to it, that truth is now trampled in the street under common footage. So now the truth is belittled. The truth is put down. The truth is not elevated up. The truth is not preached from the housetops, nor is the truth being preached from the pulpits, nor is truth being proclaimed by individual Christians. But rather, what is happening when somebody decides that the truth is non-essential, when somebody decides that the truth is not important, oh, they'll take prayer out of public school. They'll take Bible out of the public school. People will live according to the time of the judges when they do that which is right in their own eye, because they set themselves up as being the truth, and the Word of God is now of non-importance. It is unessential. So what takes place in a nation when that happens? Well, what takes place in an individual's life when that happens? Here's what takes place. The Bible says that justice standeth far off. It says even talking about where judgment is turned backwards, so you can understand that those that sit in that which is the court, those that render judgment, the Bible says that that judgment is turned away backward. So justice is standing afar off. They're not making final decisions based on truth. They're making final decisions based on their own opinion of what their own established truth is. So justice standeth afar off, even in the courts. And truth is now trodden to the street under the footage of common man. And people now commit that which is fraud. They commit that which is violence, if you will. Dishonesty and integrity, if you would please. Honesty and integrity are now driven backwards. And the truth is now not embraced. Now, how is it that that takes place? Let me give you, if I may, three bondages, I believe, very firmly, that the devil wants to get you in. And these three bondages are very, very easy to see. Not also easy to see, but also easy to understand. Not also just easy to understand, but they're easy to be able to see how we can get deliverance. Otherwise, the Bible would not be true. Because the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, yes, we can know what the truth is. Yes, we can know about bondage and what causes a person to get in bondage, but at the very same time, we can also understand how to be delivered from that bondage. All right? Let me get Brother Palmore, Brother Jonathan, help me if you would. And so, now here Brother Jonathan is, and Brother Jonathan is in bondage. And so, bound him, just around him over and over again. All right? And so here he is. He is in bondage. Now watch this, if you will. How is that true? Well, first off, I believe there's the bondage of Satan. The bondage of Satan. See, when a person hears the truth and they decide not to embrace the truth. In other words, let's say they hear the truth about salvation. They hear the truth about, that's good. They hear the truth about, and just kind of hold it. And they hear the truth about, you just hold it for him, and you got him in bondage. All right, so they hear the truth about that which is salvation. All right, so as they hear the truth about that which is salvation, the devil doesn't want them to receive that. The devil does not want any individual to be saved. The devil does not want anybody to be able to go to heaven. The devil would try to stop everything possible for your loved ones not to receive the truth, whereby they can be made free. So the devil tries to stop everything. He tries to stop every gospel tract that goes out. He tries to stop every church that runs buses. He tries to stop every church that runs vans. He tries to stop your teenagers from getting on a teen soul winning bus. He tries to stop you as an adult of giving out the gospel to your friends, to your loved ones, and to your neighbors. He tries to stop everything he possibly can so that somebody will not hear the truth of the gospel whereby they can receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? Because the devil knows it's true whereby the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. He knew that Adam did sin, and because of that, you and I, being born of the seed of Adam, are born sinners, and we are living, if you will please, as sinners undone without Christ. If he can keep you undone without Christ, if he can blind you so that you never come to the truth of the gospel, if he can get you to get irritated about a preacher, irritated about a church, irritated about a Sunday school teacher, irritated about a choir director, irritated about a youth director, irritated about somebody that's a deacon, irritated about somebody that's an usher in a church, if you would please, somebody that he allows to be in your life that will cause you not to see the truth of the gospel, then he knows he has done his job in binding you so that you will not give a good hearing to the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible talks about in John chapter 3 and in verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I believe that the devil shivers when a gospel witness, when a soul winner, when a person that's going out sharing their plan of salvation with someone about how they got saved, or sharing the plan of salvation about how the world receives Christ as Savior. I believe this. I believe that the devil trembles. I believe the devil does not want people to be saved. I believe the devil wants to populate that which is hell, and if he can cause you to doubt that which is the Word of God, which is the pillar and ground of truth, whereby we understand the way to be able to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. If he can keep you bound, if he can cause you to stumble, if he can get you to believe that Jesus Christ is not the only, I said the only way to be able to go to heaven, if he can get you to believe that you need to be baptized to go to heaven, or you need to be good to go to heaven, or you need to be a church member to go to heaven, or you need to be somebody that sings in a choir to go to heaven, if he can get you to believe stuff like that, can I tell you, he has you bound. My Bible does not say, he that hath the Son and liveth hath everlasting life. My Bible does not say, he that hath the Son and is baptized hath everlasting life. My Bible, nor does your Bible say, he that hath the Son and keepeth the Holy Communion hath everlasting life. My Bible, nor your Bible, it does not say that a person needs to receive Jesus Christ and be good in order to be able to merit heaven. You don't merit heaven. Jesus said, it is finished. All the finished work of Christ was done on the cross when he shed his precious blood, went to the grave, and rose victorious over sin, death, and the demons of hell. And can I tell you, Christ alone saves. I said, Christ alone saves. And we have to help people to understand that it's Christ and Christ alone. So all of a sudden, that which is a soul winner comes along, and a soul winner comes up. And even though the devil thinks that he has got that person that's lost bound in the courts of that which is unbelief, soul winner comes along and tells this person how to be saved, and he bows his heart, and he receives Christ as Savior. And when he does, all of a sudden, that which is the bondage is gone. By the way, you listen to me, once saved, always saved. My Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is in the Son. When I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I receive eternal life. I don't get that by being good. I don't get that by being baptized. I don't get that by going to a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Lutheran church, a Presbyterian church, or any other type of outfit that calls itself a church. I get that because I receive Christ as my Savior. And because I'm saved, my name is written in the book of life. Just like if you're saved, your name is written in the book of life, sealed until the day of redemption. You can shout about that on a rainy day. You can shout about that on a hot summer month. You can shout about that when all of a sudden your wife gets up and burns your breakfast for the eighth morning in a row. You can shout about that when you get ready to get in the car and your car tire is flat. You can shout about that when you got somebody that's a slow driver in front of you when you're in a hurry. You can shout about that when the red light is stuck on red and you sit there for a half hour. You can shout about that when you come to church and the church is too cold, the church is too hot, your neighbor's too moody. You can shout about that when the person in front of you doesn't wear deodorant and you wish that they'd come to an understanding it's about time that they put deodorant on. You can shout about that when somebody doesn't wear perfume or when some dear lady wears too much. You can shout about that when the kids are good, when the kids are bad, when the mother-in-law stays over for an extra time or season or years to come. You can shout about that when somebody's mean to you, when somebody's good to you, when somebody's glad about you, when somebody's sad about you. Hey, I'm saying this morning, you listen to me, once saved, always saved. So he cannot get your soul again. Because once you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. So he tries something else. Thank you. You be seated. You stay, if you will. Bound him again. So he tries to get you in the bondage of sin. There's no more the bondage of Satan. So now he's going to try and trip you up. He's going to try to entice you. He's going to try to get you to have a taste in your mouth for that which is wrong. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, what shall you say then? Shall we continue? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So now wait a minute. It's not God's will that you live in sin. Right. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, the Bible says this. The Bible says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether it be sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye which are servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, it says, from the doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. Ye become servants of righteousness. You know why people don't serve Jesus Christ faithfully? Most of the time, because there is sin. Now I'm being very candid, but I'm giving you Bible this morning. Most of the time they are bound. And they're bound to the point that they cannot have the freedom. And sir, that's what the Bible teaches right here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, the Bible says, now being made free from sin, ye become servants of God. Okay, so here's the opposite. Here's the opposite. Stand up, you will, and just open your Bible like you're reading it. Here's the opposite. Here's a person serving God faithfully, free from sin. Here's a person that tries but can't because they're bound in sin. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. The Bible says, Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, and now being made free from sin, you become servants of God. Now being made free from sin, stay with me now. Now being made free from sin, stay with me now. Now being made free from sin, it says, become servants of God. It says, ye have, it says, your fruit unto holiness and your in everlasting life. Now wait a minute. And so the Bible says that when you're free from sin, you have freedom to be able to enjoy that which is the eternal life that God gave you. You know why some Christians walk around? By the way, David, when David sinned with Bathsheba, he didn't say, save me again. Here's what he said. He said, restore unto me. Restore, that means he had it. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. All right, so once a person's saved, they're saved forever. But you can lose your joy, and you can become actually, as a believer, bound in sin. I know Christians today that are bound in sin. They smoke. They're bound. I've heard people say this. I can quit anytime I want to. And I say, well, then why don't you quit? And they say, I don't want to. But the fact is that they're bound. When you get down to the honest facts about it, they're bound. I know people that are bound in drugs. I know people that are bound to drinking liquor. I know people that are bound, if you will, please, in gambling. I know people that are bound in stealing. I know people that are bound in deception. I know people that are bound in fleshly activities of that which is the flesh. I know people that have sinful hearts, and they're bound with hatred. I know people that are bound with unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger, evil thinking. I know people that are bound to material things. See, the devil doesn't care what he has you bound with. Here's what he does care, that he has you bound. Because if you're bound, then you can't do much. If I told him, I want you to run a country mile with me, and he's bound like that, he's not going to be able to run the mile with me like I would want him to run it. If I told him, I want you to labor with me out in the garden, and I want you to help me to be able to plant that which is coming up for the next year of harvest, I don't think he'd be able to do that. You know why? He's bound. Right. He's bound. You know, bound people have a hard time being friendly with other people. You know why? They're bound. It's hard to shake your hand when your hand's tied up. It's hard to nod your head when your head's knotted up. It's hard to smile when you got a rope through your mouth. It's hard. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that it is hard to be able to serve God. Now, notice the opposite there. Thank you. Be seated. Notice the opposite there where it says this. The Bible says here, and it says, and you being made free from sin, become servants of God. So when you're free from sin, you have the ability to serve God. See, that's the opposite. You show me a believer that is saved, but they don't want to serve God, and I'll show you there's some type of bondage in their life.
Right. Right.
Now, you have one responsibility, and that is to get out of your bondage. All right, I said, number one, that there is, give me one of these gentlemen right here. I said, number one, that there is the bondage of Satan. What delivers you from the bondage of Satan? Salvation. When a soul winner comes, I believe that the devil trembles. I believe this with all my heart. That's why I tell people all the time, go down that hallway, go down that other hallway, get yourself some gospel tracts, take it upon yourself this week to pass out gospel tracts. Why? Because when somebody bows their heart and they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the bondage that Satan had a grip on them is now broken. It's now done. It's now over. See, I can lay my head on my pillow at night and know that I'm saved. Nobody can take that from me. Nobody can take that from me. Once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then you're saved forever. Free. Free. Listen, after you get saved, however, he comes again. He says, well, I'm going to try and get you again. So what does he do? He tries to bind you up in that which is sin. He tries to allure you. He tries to get you to listen to the bad music. He tries to get you to run with the wrong crowd. He tries to get you to a point and to a place where you're more into watching television than you are serving God in church.
Right. Amen.
You're more into doing stuff like that. And so he tries to get you to do things that will cause you not to be able to serve Jesus Christ. And give me another fellow, if you will, please, up here. Watch this. I'm saying stand right here. I watch. And so what happens is this. What happens is there's the bondage of sin, but the opposite of being bound in sin is serving.
Yes.
Serving. By the way, you listen to me. You cannot serve God and your flesh at the same time. Now, I'm talking about a yielded Christian. You can't do that. If I'm busy, all right, watch this. If I'm busy out passing out gospel tracts, and let's say I've got some hang-up of doing something that's, I don't know, bad or something, all right? And so I've got a hang-up of doing something bad, but I'm passing out gospel tracts, I can't be doing the other stuff.
Right.
See, if I'm coming to church, that means I'm not a person that's doing something else at the time of coming to church. Oh, somebody say amen. See, I'm saying we have a choice about what we do. We have a choice about who we will serve and how much we will serve him. You know, some of you were in church this morning, and can I tell you, because you're in church this morning, you didn't go out and get drunk. Oh, you say people, you believe we have people like that in church? Yeah, I've got deacons. I'm just kidding. I got good men. Now, wait a minute, watch this if you will. But I am saying this. I'm saying that God breaks the bondage of that which is Satan. And you're never going to die and burn in hell because you received Christ as Savior. But you know, after you get saved, stand up here, Sean, in front of me. After you get saved, God wants you to do something. How are you serving Jesus Christ? What are you doing for him? Oh, but preacher, I tell you what, I'm busy. But are you doing anything for God? Are you going to go into that which is the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed? Are you doing anything for God? Are you living for selfishness? Are you living for him? What are you doing for him? See, when a person surrenders to be able to serve Jesus Christ, when a person all of a sudden hears a preacher get up and begin to preach to him, and as he begins to preach to him and point to him, hey, you know what takes place? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God begins to convict. And all of a sudden, that person says, and by the way, listen to me. Church is more important than anything you could do on a Sunday morning. Amen. Church is more important than anything you could do on a Sunday night. Amen. Church is more important than anything you could do on a Wednesday night. You say, preacher, it sounds to me like you believe a person ought to be in church. Hey, Jesus Christ shed his blood and he died for the church. It's the only institution that he ever created during his earthly ministry. You better believe I believe church is important. Now, I'm saying this. Now, when all of a sudden somebody comes to church and the man of God gets up and you know, all of a sudden he says, oh, liquor is bad. Hey, drinking booze, that's bad. That's wrong. And all of a sudden they get under conviction about that and they walk out and say, I'm not going to do that no more. You don't think they'll have a better home? You don't think that their children will rejoice because they're not being beat up anymore? You don't think that dear wife is going to rejoice because she's not being cursed out anymore? You don't believe that when the relatives come by on a Thanksgiving or Christmas that they're not going to leave there saying something's different in that home, something's changed in that home. He used to drink all the time, and now he or she won't touch the stuff. Amen. You don't believe that by coming to church and you getting more faithful that talk is not going to surround you? You don't believe word's going to get out? Where all of a sudden your brother, your sister, your mama, your papa, where somebody's going to say, hey, they've changed. I remember one time I was a youth director down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, youth director. We had a girl and she got saved, wonderfully saved. And man, she started coming to everything. My dear wife, remember this. She started coming to everything. And all of a sudden her daddy got mad. Oh, he got so mad. And he said, I want to see you at my house. He said, you and God have been stealing my daughter. I need to have a word with you. Well, he was mad. He's just mad. So I decided to go. One dumb thing I did, I went alone. Second dumb thing I did is when he answered the door and he was drunk, I stayed. And I went in the house. I sat down on the sofa and he began to swear at me up one side, down the other, and curse me out, saying, before you came along in my daughter's life, she was here, she was taking care of me, now she goes out, soul winning. And boy, he's just downgrading everything, you know. And he said, I've got a mind to kill you. And I thought, He went over to the closet and he got a shotgun out. He came over with a shotgun. He says, stand up. What do you do when a man points a shotgun at you and says, stand up? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, here's what you do. You stand up. He took that double barrel shotgun. He pointed that thing at me right there towards my chest. He said, I got a good mind to kill you. Here's what I said. Please don't. Come on now. Some of you guys are much braver than I. What would you do? I know what you do. You grab that shotgun, wrap it around his neck is what you do. I said, please don't. I said, I want to help. I'm here for you. I'm here for your daughter. Let me tell you how much God loves you. I started to talk to him, and he lowered that shotgun. You said, what did you do then? I got out of there. I mean, I'm talking about as quick as a man could move, I got out of there. I wasn't going to be able to do much with him. He's drunk. But at least I got him and put the shotgun down, amen. And after he put the shotgun down, I got brave enough to go get in my car, and I spun out, boy, I'm heading down. Now, we came back later and was able to reach him and help him. But I'm saying, you understand that the devil tries to stop you?
Yes.
What if I would have took that one incident and said, I'm never going to knock on anybody's door again because I had a bad experience? Right. What if I would have said, I'm never going to try and help another teenager again because after all, there might be more shotguns out there waiting for me? What if I would have said that? You know, I've had people that get glad about my preaching. I hope you're one of them. But I've also had people get mad about my preaching. I hope you're not one of them. I'll preach the same message and two people, want to come to me and want to say, God bless you, preacher. Thank you so much for that wonderful truth. Hallelujah. God changed my life.
Amen.
Then all of a sudden, the same message, and somebody else will stop me out in the lobby area and say, I wish you wouldn't have preached that. Used to be, he's not done it in a long time, and I'm glad, but used to be a fella that would be in our church, and he'd write, every time I mispronounce a word, and by the way, if you pay close attention, I'll probably mispronounce a whole heap of them. But he'd write down the words I mispronounce. He'd meet me in the lobby area and say, you need to work on that. Say, so what'd you do? I took it. I read it and thought, well, I need to work on that. And then I tore it up and threw away. But I read it, I looked at it. And all right, now wait a minute, because I don't want to offend anybody. I hope I hadn't offended you yet. And by the way, I'm not trying. But I'm saying this, I'm saying that there is that which is bondage. If he cannot get you to be bound to that which is Satan, he'll try to get you to be bound with sin. When you're bound with sin, according to the scriptures, it ties you up from serving Jesus Christ. They're on opposite end of the spectrums. So a lot of times people are not serving Jesus Christ because of sin. Something else you see here is this. Listen to it. You'll see that there's the bondage of self. Give me one of you fellas right here. Come help me. There's the bondage of self. Now, by the way, how is it that I get released from the bondage of self? Thank you, Brother Butler. Be seated. How is it that I get from the bondage of self? I get released from the bondage of self simply because of the fact I learned to sacrifice. I'm not talking about sacrificing for yourself. I'm talking about sacrificing for others. When you start living for others, you'll stop living for yourself. Now, that's a good statement. You listen to it and let it go deep. When you start sacrificing for others, you'll stop serving yourself, living for yourself. Listen to your Bible. Here's what the Bible teaches. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 5. The Bible says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So there are those that come to church, if you will, please. They have the form of godliness. When the choir sings, amen. When the preacher preaches, amen. When the handshaking is shook, they have the form of godliness. Got their 10-pound King James Bible. Form of godliness. Give a tithe, give a form of godliness. But the Bible says, listen to it now, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Psalm 73 and verse 6, the Bible says, therefore pride compasseth them about as death. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor, it, the Bible says, shall uphold the humble in spirit. So what takes place? You know, when a person is bound to that which is, the bondage, if you would please, of Satan. What delivers that? What delivers that is salvation. When a person is bound to that which is sin, what delivers them from that? Service. When a person is in bondage to self, what delivers them from that? Sacrifice. It now becomes not about you. It becomes about someone else. Sacrifice. You know, some of the most delightful, happy Christian people I've ever met in my life are those that sacrifice greatly for Jesus Christ. They don't bellyache, they don't complain, they just sacrifice. There's some great men of yesteryear that made some statements concerning this. One man by the name of William Carey said this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. What is that, preacher? Sacrifice. Missionary Bob Hughes said this. He said, why wait for a call when you have a command? What is that? Sacrifice. David Brainerd, a great missionary, said this. He says, I declare now I'm dying. Of course, David Brainerd died of tuberculosis, if you remember his story. He said, I declare now I'm dying. Died at the age of 29, by the way. He said, I declare now that I'm dying. He said, I would not have spent my life otherwise for the whole world. What was he? Sacrificing missionary. David Livingston, he says, you hear about the time when I was attacked by the lion? You hear about the time when my body was ridden with illness? Did you hear about the time when my teeth rotted out because I'm serving God in Africa? Did you hear about the time when the whites hated me because I stood against them, my own white people, because I stood against slavery? If I had it all to do all over again, I would do it gladly. What is that? Sacrifice. Psalm 121 in verse 1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The Bible says over in Psalm 121 in verse 2, he says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. The devil wants to get you in bonds. First, he'll come to you and try and get you in bondage to himself, whereby you'll die and burn in hell. How do you get delivered by that, from that? Salvation. Then he tries to get you in bondage to sin, so that now you would take and you'll just be somebody that's consumed upon your own lust and sin. How do you get deliverance from that? Service. Then he tries to get you in bondage to yourself, where you think that you are the important one. That everything you is about you. It's all you. How do you get overcome that? Sacrifice. You say, preacher, if I do that, will I be released from bondage? Well, that's what the Bible says in these three areas. And I find out that these three areas are the major areas. The major areas. Because these three areas have to do with your priorities of who you will become. Are you saved? Are you serving? Are you sacrificing? Father, bless, we pray. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.